This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I hope everybody had a good Purim, and of course that you got to the stage Ad Lo Yada, until you didn't know.
The rest of the world's been there for years, Anthony.
Well, I hope that at least for one day in the year we can get there too, but of course there is no let up in the Middle East, and certainly not in Israel. And a few little interesting things that have happened over the weekend and things that will be happening this week. Syrian forces attacked Hezbollah forces in Lebanon last night, which is something that I never thought I would see happening. But we're seeing increasing animosity between the new Syrian government and Hezbollah in Lebanon. So I think that where that is concerned, Israel can kind of stand by and just watch what happens. It'll be interesting to see how that proceeds and what will happen in that particular border in the next few days. Just an update with regard to hostage discussions. Very fascinating to hear an announcement that was made by the U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff on Friday evening. And he said that Hamas is making unrealistic demands behind the scenes, despite publicly expressing their willingness to release hostage Edan Alexander, who is also a U.S. citizen, as well as the remains of four other dual citizen hostages. And what Steve Witkoff went on to say is that Hamas is making a very poor gamble by believing that time is on its side, and this is not the case. Hamas is well aware of the deadline and must understand that we will respond accordingly if it passes. Now, in addition to that, we understand that the Prime Minister had a meeting with his security cabinet and other security officials on Saturday evening, and that he ordered Israel's negotiating team to prepare for talks to release what we understand to be 11 hostages who are still alive, as well as a number of other deceased hostages, the remains of a number of other deceased hostages. So we understand that the Prime Minister has instructed his team to prepare for these negotiations to move forward, in spite of the statement made by Steve Witkoff, which sounded less than optimistic. And just another little snippet before we go into the main stories is that released hostage Eli Sharabi will be appearing later this week at the UN Security Council at the invitation of the US delegation and Israeli Ambassador Danny Danon. Eli Sharabi, you may recall, was kidnapped from Kibbutz Be'eri. He was armed at the time that he was kidnapped, and he was defending his wife and two daughters who were with him in their safety room in Kibbutz Be'eri. And he was told that if he laid down his arms and he went with the terrorists to be kidnapped into Gaza, that his wife and daughters would be saved. That was not the case. He laid down his arms. He did as he was instructed. He was lynched when he arrived in Gaza. He was held in tunnels for endless days. We're already on day 525. 528 by now. We still don't have sign of some of those hostages, but some of the stories that Eli Sharabi has told us about the conditions that he had to endure in Gaza are frightening. There was a whole interview conducted with him by Israeli TV. One of the comments that he made that I just pulled out from that interview, he said that the tunnels are so well reinforced and so protected that as far as he is concerned, we had no possible way of getting the hostages out of there alive while they were being held in the tunnels. So that will be Eli Sharabi later this week at the UN Security Council. He's already been to the White House. He's already done a lot of PR up until now. And I find it astonishing that he has the strength to do this after having returned back to find that his wife and two daughters were cruelly murdered in cold blood. And he had no idea of this all the time that he was in Gaza. He held out the hope that he would return back to the arms of his family, and he had to return back to this most distressing news that they are no longer alive.
It's just beyond anything that we can comprehend. It's just absolutely not possible. The Prime Minister has announced that he wants to fire the head of Shabak. This story scares me. It's almost like I don't want to go there because it just makes me very, very uncomfortable and nervous. But of course, we have to go there because it's an important story. What is going on?
It is an important story, and it makes me very uncomfortable, and I absolutely share your concerns. Because this story has every bad element that one could imagine involved in it. So Ronen Bar is the head of the Shabak. The Shabak, also known as the Shin Bet, is also, these are the acronyms for what we call in Hebrew, Shirut Bitachon Klali. This is the General Security Service. And the Shabak is responsible for security inside of Israel's borders. And that also includes all work related to the Judea and Samaria area, relations with the Palestinian Authority, and Gaza, as opposed to the Mossad, who are the security service responsible for Israel's security operating outside of Israel's borders. So the Shabak has a very, very important role to play, and Ronen Bar has been in that position for the last 3.5 years, of course, also over the time of the October the 7th massacre and disaster. And to many, he has some responsibility for the failures that took place that led ultimately to the massacre on October the 7th. And he and the Prime Minister have had an extremely difficult relationship for an extended period of time. This announcement now that the Prime Minister, will fire the head of the Shin Bet comes unsurprisingly to many of us, because there's been such a history of animosity between the two of them. And this arises from a number of different places. The first of which is that Ronen Bar has already said that he will resign as the head of the Shin Bet. He has already accepted certain elements of responsibility for the failures that took place that led to October the 7th. But he says he will not resign until two things have happened. One of which is that the hostages are returned, because he feels some responsibility, having been responsible to some degree for them being kidnapped into Gaza. He feels that he wishes to see out the responsibility of returning them back to Israel. And he doesn't want to give up on that. And he doesn't want to give up on his job until he has completed that mission. And the second thing that he wants to see before he resigns is a national commission of inquiry appointed in order to investigate the events that led to October the 7th. Now, one might argue that his interest in having a national commission of inquiry established is to somehow deflect responsibility away from him. He might feel that many of the things that he's being blamed for right now are perhaps unjustified, and he feels that a national commission of inquiry will throw open some of the stories which might not be in the public arena right now about the responsibility, and potentially, particularly, of the Prime Minister. Because if Ronen Bar had potentially said to the Prime Minister, warned the Prime Minister about certain things that would be happening that led up to October the 7th, and those warnings fell on deaf ears, then he might well be justified in saying, look, even though I was responsible, but I had been doing my job and that I have certain limitations, because I have to report to the Prime Minister and to the government, and I am limited by whatever it is they tell me. So there is a certain speculation that suggests that he might want to deflect some of the responsibility which is being laid at his door right now away from him, and to point it to places where he feels it's more justified. I'm not sure. That's all pure speculation, and I have no evidence to prove or disprove any of those speculations. The latest little straw that has broken the camel's back, it seems, is the story of so-called Qatargate, which is roaming around Israeli press and talks about potential Qatar money having been paid to members of the Israeli government in order to undertake certain things, and which now is being investigated not by the government itself, but by special security forces, including the Shabak, who are potentially investigating how this Qatari money came to Israeli officials, why it came to Israeli officials, what impact there might have been, was there some bribery going on in order to behave in a certain way. So the fact that Ronen Bar is involved in the investigation of Qatargate also makes this decision, the public announcement that came yesterday, somewhat suspicious, because once again, one wonders to what extent the Prime Minister may or may not have an interest in seeing the end of Ronen Bar as the head of the Shabak. Now, because of all of these things that are going on, and because of the potential conflicts of interest that arise, it has been determined that the Prime Minister by himself can't fire the head of the Shin Bet, even though he is potentially entitled to do so. I think according to the law, he has the right to appoint or fire the head of the Shin Bet. But because of the other things that are going on around the edges, there is now a potential conflict of interest that arises, and the Attorney General has stepped in, and the courts may well be asked to step in to make some sort of a ruling about whether the Prime Minister can, in this current circumstances, fire the head of the Shin Bet. So what we have right now is a kind of non-functioning situation where the Prime Minister has publicly announced that he has lost all confidence in the head of his internal security service, that the head of the internal security service seems to not have much faith in the Prime Minister and is being asked to investigate certain things that have gone on that might well implicate the Prime Minister and his behavior. All in all, it's a very, very unhealthy situation, unwelcome situation, and not something that we really need when we are still fighting a war and trying to return hostages from Gaza after 528 days.
Yeah, quite an unpleasant situation, and let's see how it plays out. Israel is on high alert against possible Houthi attacks. That's after the U.S. activates activities against the Houthis in Yemen over the weekend. Give us the latest.
So some of us are going, finally, something is being done to take care of what has been really a world problem. The Houthis have been firing missiles towards Israel. But even more than that, they have prevented shipping from moving through the Gulf of Aden because they've attacked so many ships, not only ships that have some connection with Israel, whether they're bringing goods and service goods to Israel, or whether they have Israeli ownership involved, or whether they have Israeli crew on board. Somehow the Houthis seem to find a good reason to attack any old ship coming through the Gulf of Aden. And we all know that the Gulf of Aden is a very important feeder to the Suez Canal and through to the Mediterranean Sea, and has resulted in a massive increase in the cost of world shipping, because most ships coming from east to west, and or traveling from west to east, instead of moving through the Suez Canal, which is by far the shortest and the cheapest way for them to move their goods around, have now had to travel around Africa in order to avoid the possibility of being pirated or being attacked by the Houthis in Yemen. And nobody has really stood up in any significant way. There have been one or two, what I would call symbolic attacks by Israel, even by the UK Defense Forces, by America under the Biden administration. There were some attacks carried out against the Houthis, but nothing that's really hurt them in any significant way. And finally, President Trump has not only ordered U.S. forces to carry out a massive attack against the Houthis in Yemen, but has issued a very, very strong statement which says we will not tolerate the Houthis hijacking world shipping in the way that they've done up until now. And not only will we not tolerate the Houthis' behavior, and we will take them out if necessary, according to the words of Trump, but we also hold Iran responsible. So this is also a very, very direct, indirect finger that's being pointed at Iran for their support of the Houthis in Yemen. And I think that this is a long overdue, very, very strong statement. For those people who haven't read the statement that President Trump issued on Friday, I would strongly suggest that you read it. It makes for very fascinating reading. It puts diplomatic talk out of the window completely, which we've already come to expect of Trump. But it says things in a way that many of us would like to say it, removing all the fluff and the diplomacy around things and just saying things as they are. And that's exactly what President Trump has done in this situation. He's ordered the U.S. forces to carry out a massive attack against the Houthis over the weekend, which seems to have done quite a lot of damage and hurt them. The Iranians have immediately responded by distancing themselves from the Houthis. All of a sudden, the Iranians can't even remember who the Houthis are.
Which ones they are again? Yeah.
Exactly. Suddenly they can't remember who they are, where they live, what they're doing, and why they're even around. So they've distanced themselves. But of course, Israel is still significantly under attack, and there may well have been an attempt to attack Israel because some missile landed in Egypt. We're still trying to work out whether this was the Houthis trying to fire against Israel. So certainly the ante has been upped in a very significant way on the Houthis, and we will obviously remain on high alert in Israel at the moment because anything could happen. But this is a very fascinating development indeed.
That is where we leave at 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.